Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The left. And by the left, I mean the left coast. Yeah, we can even call it the East Coast, right? Like, the coast has a disdain for Middle America that's pretty huge. And it's not just what took place at the Golden Globes last night, the Golden Globes. It's not that. First of all, they have a disdain for Middle America because they shove these movies down our throats that only people on the left coast wants to watch. Right? La La Land won everything last night. I have not seen La La Land and will not see La La Land. It just, there's zero appeal to me in musicals in general. But it's just, one of the big reasons is because I'm being told it's the greatest movie you'll ever see kind of thing. And that's where I just say, but it's so funny. Last night, you know, we could talk ad nauseum about what Meryl Streep said, and you know, we'll play a couple things from her maybe in the minute, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, quite frankly, I don't care at this point in time. It's been talked at. It's been talked up. It's been talked down. It's been talked sideways. At this point in time, realistically, do you really give a rat's ass about what Meryl Streep says? Or anybody in Hollywood or any limousine liberal or any, do you care what any of these elitist people have to say? You know, the funny thing was, if you look back at communism and its rise, right? The elitists were what? This oligarchy kind of, these old school money kind of people. And these people who felt that they somehow had a better view of the world and the way that it needed to be. And the people that design these things, the people who think of these things, the people that tell you how you should act, never actually want to live the life that they want you to live, right? Communism, socialism, all these things, it was never designed for the people that designed them never wanted to live underneath the rule of it. They wanted to control it. They wanted to be above the fray, as if somehow they're better. And there is a disdain for the people in the middle of the country. It's true. It's very true. It's been that way for a long time. Before, it was the middle of the country slow. Before, it was the middle of the country's not hip. Now, the middle of the country is all of these horrible things and then some. And then some. That's the way they look at the people in the middle of the country. But here's some of last night's whininess from Meryl Streep.
Disrespect invites disrespect. Violence incites violence. When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose.
That's what they do. They use their position to tell you how you should feel in a passive-aggressive way, that you should somehow believe that what they're saying and what they're throwing at you is in some way some sort of magical, mystical thought process that you, middle America, can't come up with yourself because you're too busy trying not to have sex with your sister, dragging your knuckles, and living in a trailer park. That's what they think of you. That's the truth. Case in point, right? Here is the perfect example. And I tell everybody, it's not just Hollywood. It's not just Hollywood. It is the left coast and New York, Manhattan. It's not just the Hollywood elites. There are other people. Case in point, a CEO in San Francisco. Her name is Melinda Byerly. She's the CEO of Timeshare CMO. She wrote this tweet on Saturday calling people in Middle America. Well, I'll read you some of this tweet. Here we go. One thing Middle America could do is to realize that no educated person wants to live in their crap hole with stupid people, especially violent, racist, and or misogynistic ones. When big corporations think about where to put a call center, which, by the way, if they're thinking about where to put a call center, it rhymes with Indiana, but you take away the Anna. Factors, development centers, etc. They also have to deal with the fact that those towns have nothing for them. No infrastructure, just a few bars and a terrible school system. But wait, she's not finished. No, yes. So if you want jobs, clean up your act and make your own town a place that people like us want to live. Now, first and foremost, she's already separated. It's us and them, right? But it gets better. Add fiber internet. Make it a point to elect progressive city council and commit to not being bigots. I guarantee many of us would like to live a more rural lifestyle, or at least a less urban one. But we won't sacrifice tolerance or diversity to do so. We especially don't want to live in states where the majority of residents are still voting for things that are against their own interests, just because they don't want brown people to thrive. Again, the Midwestern towns that fix this first will attract investment in droves. It's not just tax breaks or fiber. Corporations have to deal with the fact that their best and brightest would rather scrape by in San Francisco than live in a huge house somewhere. It's meant dealing with bigots and backwards ideologies every day. That's the way they feel. I have friends in Silicon Valley, and they feel like if you get to Boise, Idaho, it's literally, you know, people are climbing up out of the mud every single day and going, well, tonight we're going to have some steak and grandmama's going to pass around the tooth so we can all eat it. That's the feeling they have. Anybody in the South is automatically a Klans member. This and voting against their best interest, they assume that the one thing that they believe in, government control, is the best interest for everybody else. Because remember, when you have power and money, you are above that kind of lifestyle. Meaning, yes, you know what your best interest is? It would be great for a lot of people out there if there was a single-payer system. But people don't want that. Not because they want to spend more on technology, and I mean more on healthcare, but because they don't want the government in their life. They don't get that. They don't get that. They don't understand it because they're too busy focusing on who they are, which is the purveyors of all things that they, you know, seem to be morale-wise as like they're the kings and queens of it all. Zuckerberg, all of these, they're all the same, right? They're all the same. The only time they make a landing in any of these cities is if there's a plane, they have an emergency plane. Or they have to, quote unquote, God forbid, not have a private jet, but have a layover somewhere. Chicago's okay, but the rest, oh, can't do with that. It's amazing. But these are the way these people feel. These are the way these people, it's not just the Meryl Streeps of the world. It is so many other people on these left coasts and the East Coast who feel that everybody else is kind of stupid. You voted for Donald Trump, so that makes you a racist. You voted for Donald Trump, so you're misogynist. You voted for Donald Trump, so you're homophobic. You voted for Donald Trump, so you're a xenophobic. You voted for Donald Trump, so you're a phobic. You are all of these things based on your vote. And it's always against your best interest. Because to them, the best interest would be vote the way that they decide, and then they'll decide what you get. Right? They'll decide what you get. Remember, they're above the fray. They're mobile. They're wealthy. They're deciding to themselves, hey, I'm going to live the life I want to live, but let me tell you how you should live your life. Again, it's not just Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep is just, she's just a woman that's out there doing what she does. She's placating the audience. And she's the fact is, you want to see somebody brave? I wish somebody would have went up there last night and dropped the can. Say, you know what? Here's the deal. You may not like him, but he's the president. 8 years ago, we bitched about everybody and the way that they treated President Obama. Now we want to do the same thing to him and say, well, this is what you get. Look, we should want our president to succeed. We should want our president to be successful because if he's successful, the country's successful. Guess what? It's a good thing for all of us. We should want that. We may not like all the things he's going to do, but you know what? We should still want him to succeed. And if he does something that we don't like, it's one thing to speak up. It's amazing, though. And just this lady, by the way, she then goes on to say, she didn't go on to do a half-assed apology. I spoke about Middle America, my birthplace, inartfully and disrespectfully. I'm sorry for that. You're not sorry for that because that's what you believe. That's what you believe. It's always amazing when I see the best places in America to live. You know what it always is? How close are you to a place of art? How close are you to the theater? How close are you to, as if those are the things that matter in life. I know you have lived in a crap hole and it costs you $4,000 a month and you're working three jobs to pay for it. But the good news is there's a theater next door to you. It's a different world. We have two Americas. It's not rich and poor. We have two Americas right now. We have a progressive, left side leaning, almost elitist feel of, not all of them, but a good portion of them. And we have another side of America that still thinks America's the greatest, still believes in certain values that we look back on it. In many ways, we all think, well, those are just old square values. We have two sides of this country. Jeez. Couldn't even imagine that. Oh, I'm sorry, Middle America, for calling you a crap hole. And by the way, I've been to Middle America. It's beautiful. People are lovely. I grew up in Los Angeles. I've lived in Sacramento. I lived in London. I lived in San Antonio. I lived in San Diego. I lived all over this great country of ours. And I will tell you this. Middle America is beautiful. We can all, you know what? They could take a little bit from us and some of the way that we do things. And we could take a little bit from them and some of the way that they do things. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. By the way, we've got two polls up there today. First, should taxpayers be paying for inmates' gender reassignment surgery? Big story in California about that. 96% said no way. And the other one is, do you really care about what Hollywood has to say? 7% says yes, 4% says sometimes, 89% said shut up and act already. It's kind of the way I feel. And always call the program to 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show. Oh, man. We have so much stuff to get to today. I watch the Talking Head shows on Sundays. You know, just to see what everybody's tackling. And I have to admit, I mean, right now, politics is like uber dead. Like normally you come in and there's something to talk about every day and people are talking about discussing things. And again, I follow politics big time, but I don't really, I bring up some stuff that I think is interesting, but like politics is super dead. Like, what are they talking about right now? It's a transition team. He's hoping to get 6 or 7. You know, as far as his nominees will get in there that first week or so. And right now the Republicans have enough that they're pretty much going to be able to get people through. And is it going to be filibuster this? Not going to be that. You know, Jeff Sessions seems to be the sticking point to a lot of people, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. The one thing I do find interesting, though, is like watching CNN or MSNBC or any of these things is just watching them and they take something and they beat it to death. Right. You know, like Putin and this whole thing. And by the way, there's a great op-ed piece. I think it's in the Washington Post about, is Trump playing Putin? Is Trump a sly enough individual? And dare I say he may be. And he's playing Putin. He is cozying up with Putin. He is friending Putin. He's doing that thing where you keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of thing. And that's the way I think a lot of people are starting to look at it. Maybe this guy is getting a little bit closer in a way that we haven't before. Because look, Clinton tried it, both Clintons, husband and wife. Obama's tried it. Bush tried it. It never worked. He gives you a little bit, but not a lot of it. But it's funny, you know, just this whole thing and the way that they treat a lot of this crap. Because it doesn't affect you as much as you'd like to think it does. Well, the Supreme Court, again. You know, there's so many ways you look at the Supreme Court. And he'll get his justice on. Who it'll be, I don't know. And don't be surprised, though, and I've said this, that had Hillary won and she appointed somebody that leans super to the left and they put somebody on the Supreme Court that leans super to the left and all of a sudden all these things. Don't be surprised, I said, that if a new president comes in eventually, that they could appoint a new Supreme Court justice because there's no laws on how many you can have. You can have 1 or 100, doesn't say. So you could have seen that. I kind of like the 4-4 still. I do. I'm a call me a stickler, but I like the 4-4 because I think it really gives power back to the states. Because a lot of times these things come from the state. Next thing you know, their ruling gets challenges on the highest courts. And you know, when it's 4-4, if it's a big thing, they send it right back down to the states, and whatever that is, that's what you guys get. I've seen that this to me, again, though, like when we talk about all of this stuff, because the anticipation for Trump is huge. the nervousness of Trump and the unknown of Trump, even for people on the right, is huge. These first 100 days, I think these first 100 days, more so than any president in history, is going to be the most telling thing that we've seen. Because we have no idea what to expect from this guy, other than he wants to rip everything up and start all over again. That's all we know. And he's appointed billionaires and millionaires to be part of his cabinet. Again, you want successful people around you, right? You know, what was he going to do? Hey, let's find a bunch of people that have no success whatsoever. We'll just put them around us. We'll see how that goes. No, so I don't have any problem with that. But it's going to be very interesting to see. And the fight that's going to come. Because you know what? Again, the GOP's already feeling it. You've got a lot of lawmakers who are coming out saying, well, let's just hold up here on Obamacare. You got a lot of that. You got a lot of these lawmakers who are saying that. Let's step back a little bit as far as this goes. And we'll take a look at it. And we'll see what we can and can't. If I was them, I wouldn't be doing a repeal and replace. You know what I'd be doing? I'd be doing a repair. We're repairing ACA. We're repairing it. We're putting in the things they want. It's about phrasing at this point in time. How do you bring it to the people that softens what you're trying to do? And the other thing is, I've not seen a comprehensive. I know they got 25 of them, right? Everybody's got some. Tom Price has one. Everybody's got some sort of comprehensive repeal and replace thing. I've not seen any of them. I've seen a few, and we've heard about some of them. But it's going to be interesting. These first 100 days for Trump is going to be very, very interesting because it is the most unknowing and untrying time in history. Not only is Trump one of these people that is, again, he's, you know, most of America feels like they kind of speak in their language. I think it's like 67% said now they identify more with him than they do either parties. But the other thing is, it's his own party's going to be a fight along the way. It'll be interesting. Masculinity, kids. We struggle with it. Body issues. Man. Chad Benson Show.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Guess what? It's happening to boys, men, like myself. We've been talking about this off air, actually. All of us. This is like, okay, here's the thing. This is one of those situations where the new year's here and we all got that bandwagon. We're like, I got the bandwagon. I'm going to lose weight this year. It's not even just about losing weight anymore. Because I think all of us now have this idea in our mind of what we should look like, men included, right? In Hollywood in the last 20, 30 years, so much has changed as far as masculinity and what men should look like. And look, being good looking, whether you like it or not, being good looking, having some sort of attraction, not just to the opposite sex or whoever you're sexually attracted to, but just in general, being soft on the eyes to individuals in life is important. You will go further in life, whether people want to like that or not. That's the truth. You will have more opportunities in life, again, whether you like it. That's the truth. And you'll make potentially, according to studies, more money in life. That's just the truth. So it's not just I'm doing this for vanity. There are several reasons why you could be doing it. Health should be number one. I have a 6-year-old son. I would like to see him get to the point one day where maybe that generation will want to have kids and he'll give me a grandkid. I don't know, but I'd like to see him grow up. I want to be healthy, but I also want to look good. There's some vanity here. I got no problem with that. I got a little bit of an ego. If you don't have an ego in life, you're probably not doing anything. You should be. I mean, all of us have a little bit of ego. All of us do. We all want to look good. Anthony and I, we brought our lunch today. Producer Phil, you're going to start working out tomorrow like we are.
At least that's what I say now.
Well, we all say that. We do. I mean, look, it's and for years, I think it truly was a double standard in Hollywood. We wanted women to look a certain way and guys could look another way. And it is what it is. And it's funny. This isn't pressure that women are putting on men. And there's a great article in Yahoo today talking about how men have changed, how the superhero look has changed a lot of things. And it's really interesting. This comes from Dr. Harrison Pope, director of Biological Psychiatry Laboratory at the McLean Hospital in Massachusetts. He said the unrealistic media image has contributed to low body image and satisfaction among men, usually considered a problem for just women. A study last year found that American men are just as likely to feel unsatisfied with their physiques, while another study found adolescent boys who are dissatisfied with their body shape may be more likely than girls to self-criticize, to feel distress. They've even shown that, yes, they feel bad about themselves to the point where they're starting to try to figure out how to make themselves look better. They have body dysmorphia, and they're taking things like steroids at a high rate. I never took steroids. Never had a dream of wanting to be, you know, Hercules looking or any of that stuff, because I played a sport where I didn't need it. But I will say this. As a guy who played a sport at a pretty high level, I wanted to be thinner. But I wanted to be thinner so I could be faster. It never happened. Even when I was at my fittest and I had like 6 or 8% body fat, I was built like a house. I was built like a house. And looking back on it, I had my issues. I struggle. Well, I do now. I'd like to lose 30 pounds. All of us look in the mirror and we know exactly what it is we feel. But now it's starting to point out that men are feeling it as much, and young men are feeling it as much as anybody. And it's a sad state that's the way it is. But that's the truth. Again, we all want to look good. We all want to feel good. Who doesn't? You know, they always say, well, you got to come to terms with who you are. And look, there's a portion that's true. The fact is, all of us have genetics. Some of our genetics are great. Your mom and dad may be Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Chances are your genetic lottery is going to be solid. Or your mom and dad may be 5'8 and 5'6 and they're kind of stocky people. There's a good chance that you're not going to be 6'6" and 220 pounds of lean fighting machine. That's it. Some of it's genetics, no matter how hard we work out. And you got a different body type. Some people are long and lean. Some people have that perfect physique. Some people are like me that are kind of, I think they call it ectomorphic, where you're kind of stocky, you know. But we fight with this image. And the body image thing has gone on forever and a day. And the funny thing is, as they read this, they say, you know, the problem is right now in our heads, we equate muscles with masculinity, right? We equate that if you got muscles, you must be masculine. And that's not always true, right? I mean, you look at some of the badasses that we've got, like, on the Navy SEALs and stuff. I think those guys are pretty masculine. Those are pretty dudes. And very rarely do those guys look like they're going to go out and, you know, and just rip apart phone books in half and stuff, you know, and use a telephone pole as a toothpick. Doesn't look like that. It's crazy, though. But when you think about it, I see it now. I see it with my little brother. I see it with the struggles that my little brother has with his weight. And how he feels. He plays a sport at a high level. He plays junior hockey, and he's kind of a stud. But he struggles. He's 6'2", and he's only like 150 pounds soaking wet. And he wants to be bigger. And he wrestles with it because he sees other guys. And he hears this all the time, too, from coaches. If you were 50 pounds heavier, if you were 40 pounds heavier, you'd be going in the first round of the NHL draft kind of stuff. And you struggle with stuff like that. And then you start to wonder, does he have an eating disorder and all these kind of, there's so many things that go into it. And boys are now feeling it like they've never felt it before. And it's crazy. But all of us have been there. Hell, again, I'm there. I mean, and we get to that point, like, where you take a bite of something and you eat something and then you feel crappy. Like last week, we snacked the hell out of it. We ate the hell out of stuff in this place. We did. Man, it was delicious. It is. Finally today, man, everybody's bringing in salads and stuff, and we're just like, oh, my goodness. This is what we need. We need less. But we like it. We do. It's hard to do. And it's also hard because we want to look a certain way, so we get frustrated. You even drop 20 pounds or 30 pounds, and you feel good. The problem is you take your shirt off, and you don't look like David Beckham, right? You don't look like Brad Pitt. You still look like you, just thinner. Genetics. You got to hit the genetics. Do you have the genetic lottery? That's the question that you need to ask yourself. Speaking of genetics, as we talk about masculinity, this is the, you know, right now Maybelline has just signed a young man to be their new spokesperson, because, you know, that's inclusive. That's what you got to do now. You got to be inclusive. So you've got me. I call it Manbleen. So they got a guy that's got, you know, he's going to be he's got the new pouty lips and the eyes and the whole nine yards. And it's this weird gender world that we live in. Again, it's that beautified thing. It's a beautified thing. I find it to be weird. I'm sorry. Look, earlier today, when we were discussing this before the show, I remember as a kid growing up, Joe Namath using legs, I think it was. Remember legs, the pantyhose that came in that half egg? He would wear those, and it was like, you know, showing how strong and tough they were because he played football, and I think some other NFL players did it and stuff. But, you know, again, it was for a woman, you know, or to rob a bank, because that's really the only people who buy pantyhose now are people who are going to rob banks. But this is not that. This is, again, one of those things where they're starting to blur the gender line, right? Like, where this is what young boys are going to be doing in the future, which is wearing makeup and blurring that gender line. And left coast, east coast, woo, it's great. This is what it's about. People in the Midwest are like, this is crazy. Myself, I don't get it, you know. It's weird. I find it weird. And by the way, when he does himself up, he looks just like Boy George, like a young Boy George. Is this where we're going? I mean, is this it? I mean, we're trying to find a way to be less gender specific, more neutral. And then I read this thing in China today that says in Beijing that they're having trouble because little boys have become effeminate over there. And so now they're having to teach school in a different way. And so now they've got all these new gender-specific books just for boys, teaching them how to be little men, how to be more masculine, how to be more oomph, because they're not anymore. They're fighting with the same issues we're fighting with. The difference is they're just fighting with it in an honest way. Because you could not have that today. You could not have a book that teaches little boys how to be little men. It would be considered misogynistic. It would be considered to be all the things that we think that, you know, are bad nowadays. You say a word about something like, oh, my God, you're putting gender into something. You can't do that, Chad. You can't put gender into stuff. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. This book is necessary, according to one person, Miao Li, 36, a businessman. He told NBC News while waiting to pick up his daughter outside of a Beijing primary school, they're so overprotected by the family, they don't do physical activities anymore. Nowadays, girls are becoming more like boys, while boys are becoming more like girls, introverted and shy. We're getting that. How much of it? Also, again, as the world becomes more technologically driven, and when we look back at what it's like to be a young boy or a young man growing up, it was climbing trees, it was riding bikes, it was doing stuff that was very outdoors. We're not doing that anymore because kids don't want to do that. You didn't have a computer. Look, if I would have had a computer 20 years ago, 30 years ago when I was a kid, hell yeah, I'd be playing on the computer. I didn't. I had a tree and a bike. Like, that was my computer. It's a tree and a bike and hanging out with your friends. But one of the other things they said they're worried about is the effeminity of men, and that they're crossing that, they're having that gender, you know, kind of neutral area because of a lot of the K-pop stars and the J-pop stars. If you don't know what those are, K-pop and J-pop are, that's kind of Japanese and Korean pop stars, and that they're very effeminate. And, you know, China's not about effeminity. Remember that. When you were, up until last year when they had the two-child rule, you were praying it was a boy. Interesting, though. Interesting. Phil, do you think you could be the next Maybelline man?
Not even close. Give me about 4 months.
Like, I wouldn't even know how. First of all I hear is how women hate putting makeup on, by and large, right? Why would you want to go through all of that? That just seems like an annoyance. I brush my teeth and I throw some, you know, I put some, when it's dry, I'll put some lotion on my face. That's about it. I couldn't even imagine. I feel for you, ladies. I do. Honest to God, I feel for you, for all of this. The fact that you have to put makeup on and the war paint and the whole night, I feel for you. I don't know why, and I don't know why anybody else would want to do it. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text us, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We got some football from this weekend, including a ferocious hit that I think the NFL needs to look at. Not just the hit, but the way the whole thing went down. College football game tonight, and Penn State. Wait till you hear how much this giant, absolutely horrific incident with Sandusky cost them. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Blah, 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 blah. He's Chad Benson.
That's me. I watched the NFL this weekend. Disappointing. I was disappointed. And I get excited. It's usually the best time of the year, football-wise. You got those, you know, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's wild card weekend. You got games on Saturday and Sunday, and it's just playoff teams now. And, you know, like me, you know, I'm stuck watching the Chargers or the Rams play, you know, at least once or twice a weekend. And so now they're gone, and we got real teams. Disappointment from Jump Street. Disappointment. I even had high hopes for the Texans and the Raiders, and they it was crap. It was absolute crap. Absolute. Texans, every home team won. In fact, not only did every home team won, they won easily. It wasn't even close. Green Bay last night just laid the pipe to New York, right? It was cold in Pittsburgh, and they thumped the Dolphins. It was nothing. Seattle won easily at home, and the Texans won. It was one of those things where I don't know. I mean, I was bummed. And I love football. I got super excited about football, and it let me down. It let me down big time this weekend. Tonight, you've got the championship game, the college national championship game, pitting Alabama. We're rolling them tide. He's going for 6th national championship. Dare I say, if he wins tonight, he's the greatest college football coach of all time, if he already isn't. And that's Nick Saban. And the other side, you got Clemson, the team they beat last year in the national championship game, but gave them everything and then some that they could handle. And it's going to be an interesting game tonight. Earlier today, I toyed with the idea of picking Clemson. Deshaun Watson is probably the best quarterback and maybe the best player, even though he didn't win the Heisman Trophy. He's probably the best player. But, man, you pick against Alabama at your own risk. At your own risk. And I have picked against them on a few occasions, and it's come back and bit me in the ass. But I'm thinking tonight that they got a young quarterback, and while their defense is awesome, this guy runs all over the place. I think tonight they do enough to outscore Alabama, and unlike last year, they win in a shootout this year. So Clemson's my team I pick to win. I watched the game yesterday, and producer Phil will back me up on this. I told him earlier, I said, did you see the Miami-Pittsburgh game? In the game, Matt Moore, who is the starting quarterback for Miami, he got destroyed. And I don't just mean destroyed. He got hit so hard, and it was tough to watch. There was a pit in my stomach when it happened because I could see it happening, as could the millions on home and everybody. The only person who couldn't see it happening was him. Phil, was it ferocious?
It was one of the most brutal hits I have ever seen.
Destructive. I mean, just it looked like he was going to die is the way he hit him. And he was out for one play. And with all that the NFL is going through, with the lawsuits, with the fighting over CTE and can we make the game safer and all of these things that are happening, the fact that they've got independent people that are in, they're upstairs watching, and they will actually go down to the referee, as far as they'll signal down to the referee and say, hey, look, this guy needs to come out for independent evaluation, so the teams don't have anything to do with it. He was out one play, and I'm sorry, there to me, the fact that he got hit that hard and he was only out one play, and he said, look, I didn't have a concussion. My bell was rung. There's no doubt I took a bad hit. But no, There's no way in the space of 2 minutes you're going to be able, after what that guy went through, and the fact that he didn't get up for 5 minutes or so, he was laying there, there's any way that that could happen. I was looking yesterday, I thought, you know what? This is the problem the NFL has right now. This is it. And this billion-dollar lawsuit that you're paying everybody from, you know, over the next whatever, umpteen years, there's going to be another one coming. There is. There's going to be another one coming, especially when you don't do due diligence. It was tough to watch. By the way, I read an article over the weekend that said Penn State, Molester U, as I called them, they cost to them because the Sandusky's, you know, diddling of the boys cost them $270 million, $250 million in fines, in lawsuits, in settlements. I wish it would have cost them $1 billion. That's what I wish. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.